in this session, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In our last session, we went over Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. And 13 really is so extraordinary. If you consider what's really in there. In chapter 13, we read it through quickly. I'd like to go over a few things with you here. See, it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, 1, those who speak in tongues, this wonderful manifestation of speaking in tongues, this wonderful, great ability God has given us to praise Him and give thanks well unto Him, to bless Him. If we do it mindlessly, if we do it without love, really loving God without this agapeo love, it is a noise unto God. See, all throughout the scriptures, if you go back in your mind to the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, how should an individual pray? God does not want vain repetition. He doesn't want just someone praying to Him in a vain, repetitious way without being engaged, without thinking about what He's saying. He wants Him to come as an audience, to close the door, the closet door of their heart, and come into an audience with Almighty God and speak to Him in prayer. Well, tongues is the same. God wants the same thing. It's the same pattern. It's not mindlessly speaking just to be heard. Throw these things at God. You have to have the motive. Your motive of heart has got to be right. You are knowing exactly what you are doing, and your mind is engaged in loving God and offering these words to Him. To love Him. Without that, it's noise. It's noise. It's a disturbing, clanging noise to God Almighty. It's always the heart God wants, never just the actions. Just like He taught this throughout the entire Old Testament, it wasn't the killing of the bull. It wasn't the action of those sacrifices of burnt offering. He always said, merciful. He wanted people's heart. He wanted their love. He wanted their repentance. Not just the animal. Do you see what I mean? So when you go back in your mind and you go through Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, there is to be no other motive than to live for God, to do any other activity, to do any of the activities of Scripture without your motive solely being to obey and to please and to honor and to glorify. It profits you nothing, whether it be giving, whether it be anything else. You always have to check and to recheck. And the Corinthians were really coming up short with this, because they were more concerned, as we go into chapter 14, they are much more concerned about running over the other believers around them to show how spiritual they are. Now, we've covered many of the verses in chapter 14 so far, so I just want to quickly go over again the flavor of this. And it says here in chapter 14, after this incredible chapter of love, it says, verse 1, follow after this love, follow after this agape love, and have great desire, have a desire of spiritual matters. The word gifts again is scratched, but rather that you prophesy. For he that speaketh in a tongue, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies, he speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh with the tongue, he edifies himself, but he that prophesies, he edifies the church. And that's what this whole thing is going to be talking about now. now we're going to, he's talked about how this diversity, and at the same time there's a unity, yet the more excellent way is walking in love. Yet in Corinthians chapter 14, when it comes down to it, now we're going to have the manifestations, and specifically two of them, put in contrast, prophecy and tongues, and show how they both work in the church, and how they are not to be used in the church. Those two manifestations have completely different purposes. Tongues, as we saw, is unto God. Prophecy is to edify the church. Verse 5, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Where? In the church. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Chapters, verses 6 all the way through to 21 talk about you should not speak in tongues out loud in the church unless what? You interpret. Speaking in tongues, there's no profit to speaking in tongues out loud in the church. And yet, in verse 23, it says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? The Corinthian church, just like many other churches I've seen in different neighborhoods, and even in today, verses 6, 14, 6 through 21 says there's absolutely no profit to speaking in tongues out loud in the church unless an individual interprets. And yet, verse 23 says what they're practicing is that everyone is speaking in tongues out loud all at the same time. And it's not only without profit, but they're also making other people, just like the Christian church does today, they make other people walk away thinking that these people are out of their mind, they're mad. It does exactly the opposite of what they believed it should have done. They believed that when they just spoke in tongues out loud, people would believe that there would be a positive thing. And yet it's not. You know why people still practice it? Because the Word of God is still not the will of God for so many people. They don't read what's written. And rather, they go with what they have had in their own teaching, their own background. They copy the generations before them that came before, and they don't question. And it's so sad because one of the great things of God is misused so very often. That's why in this church, it's really what does the Scriptures say? Let us endeavor. We're not perfect. I haven't understood the Scriptures perfectly, and neither have you. But let us endeavor to do exactly what the Scriptures say to the best of our ability. Let's be obedient unto God and His Word. And the Spirit, see, is subject, it says very clearly in chapter 14, says that the Spirit is subject unto the individuals. It says in verse 32, it says the Spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophets. It's not the other way around. The Spirit of God is not going to push you around. It's not going to make you do something. I hear that constantly. The Spirit moved me to do this. The Spirit moved me to do that. Well, you know what? See that language at all in the book of Acts or in the Bible. I just don't see that kind of language or that kind of thought at all. It is the individual's willingness to obey the Spirit and to choose to do it is the what I see in the Scriptures. God said, the Spirit of God said unto Ananias, Ananias says, here I am, Lord. Well, did you ever not answer the phone? You know, things ringing. You're too busy. I'm not going to answer this phone. You know, did you ever have your mother call you down the street? Hey, John. And you pretend like you didn't hear and just keep going? Yeah, well, you've seen people, that wonderful voice of God, you've seen people ignore that too. Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. And he didn't like the message he got. There's that guy, Paul, he's been killing everybody, throwing him in jail. Why don't you go down and heal him? Don't you know what he's been doing, Lord? I've heard a lot of bad things about this dude. This is like a weird neighborhood to walk into. This could be trouble. And you know what? He obeyed. They went down there and he obeyed. That was his choice. It's always your choice to obey, whether it be the written word or the Spirit of God that's working within you. But those things will never be at cross purposes with one another. The Spirit will never tell you to do something that the written word does not confirm. Back to chapter 14 again. See, the Corinthians were much more concerned about looking, acting. They were zealous. They were very zealous. It says in verse 12 of chapter 14, even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, spiritual things, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. That is walking in love. You seek to excel to the edifying of the church. Love's way. Everything for your own benefit, or you can do everything in love, which will edify the people around you. And that's why in the latter part of the chapter, when it's speaking about the manifestations, when you speak in tongues and interpret in the body of believers, it's to be one after the other. One person speaks in tongues, then gives the interpretation. Person does it, gives the interpretation, and no more than three. And the same thing with prophecy. And you don't interrupt one another. No one is to be interrupted when they give the message. You sit and wait. Everything is to be done decently and in order. And it doesn't matter how excited you get. And again, I see this again, where people say, well, the Spirit was working so hot in me, I mean, just had to have an outburst in the middle of somebody's manifestation or prayer. I'm sorry. The Spirit is subject to you. Control your thinking, control your emotions. And don't just copy what other people have done. Show me in Scripture where people were rude, interrupted. And I'm not talking about, you know, the prophets of Baal who were jumping up and down on the altar. I'm talking about the men and women of God in the Scripture. You control your thinking, you control your emotions. That, it's always a matter of love. It's not a matter of rules. It's not a matter of anything. It's a matter of love. If you're walking in love, you're being kind, as it said back in 13. If you're really being kind, all right, long-suffering. It's long, it puts up with a lot, this love, in verse 4. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't want what somebody else has. It's not puffed up. It doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't, oh, look at me. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. Well, I'm excited to prophesy now. Let me do it right over the top of you. You're speaking in tongues loud? Let me speak in tongues louder. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't think itself bigger or better than anyone else. And again, it doesn't behave itself. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not behave itself unseemly. These are not hard things to understand. It just doesn't do that. It seeks not its own, and it's not easily provoked. And it just doesn't think evil. And I think of things that are unseemly. Things that could be unseemly in the church are, you know, someone walks into your home, they're invited, you know, and they come in and they help themselves to your refrigerator without asking. It's unseemly. It makes everybody uncomfortable. It's not kind. It's not loving. You know, now you may have lifelong friends that have come to that fellowship and it's perfectly okay. But you know what? You still never take advantage of it. You know, not if you're thinking about that. I mean, I don't want to go through too many examples, but these are the things that come to mind. And that was what was missing in the Corinthian church. That's why they had all of this spiritual understanding about the spiritual matters incorrect. And then it talks about, at the latter part of chapter 14, it talks about, if any man think himself, in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. These are the commandments of the Lord. These are not the suggestions, but these are the commandments. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. You desire earnestly to prophesy in the church, and forbid not to speak with tongues. And again, let all things be done decent and in order. This is what love looks like. This is how God wants his people and the church to deal with one another. To have blessed fellowship with one another. It's about loving people. It's about edifying, building up other individuals. It's not showboating. It's not being so zealous of spiritual things that you just don't care about the people. That's incorrect perception of being zealous in the spirit. It's very... So in these three chapters that we've gone through and the things that we've seen in these three chapters of 12, 13, and 14, again, many of these things have been talked about, walking in love, service, because the purpose of the manifestations of Holy Spirit is to enable you to walk like our Lord and Savior walked. The purpose of this wonderful Spirit of God is to help you to serve, to love like our Lord loved, to serve as he served, and you have to choose to live the life that he has lived and obey those commandments. And it was always about serving the other. It was never about showing off. It should have been obvious to the Corinthian church, but it wasn't. So they got that reproof for that. So these are the things that I wanted to show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. God bless you.